Good morning.
Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome. Good morning. It's November 9th. Well, it's 9:02. I'm sorry about being a little late. We'll start out with public comment. Do we have any public comment?
Thank you, Larry Prentice, 8147 Karen Highway. I wanted to make a comment that I appreciate what the township board has done to protect the water quality for Elk Lake and the surrounding area. I do want to comment that I object to the special assessment district based on three things. One is the size and selection of the district. I don't believe it does enough to protect the water quality. Number two, on a technical basis, I don't believe in the pressurized system and a system that's gone from originally 800,000 to over 1,140,000 since we started this back in May. On third basis is unfairness. I don't believe the special assessment district takes into consideration fairness, and I would like to propose to the township board to consider a resolution that I have, and I'd like to give a copy to you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment? Okay, not hearing any. We'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Is there anything that needs to be changed on the agenda? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as stated.
Support.
We have support. Any discussion? Not hearing any. All in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Dick Holtz is absent. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Is there anything there that needs to be changed, added, or taken off? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda as is.
Support.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call, Soper.
Yes.
Szymanski.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisbert, yes.
Motion passes. Dick Holtz is absent. We'll move on to sheriff and commissioner report. Not seeing the sheriff here, but I see the commissioner. Have you anything for us, Ed?
Look at his sweatshirt.
Oh, man.
Just had to get that in.
Now, I know there was a popular vote taken over in the commissioner's chambers, what, about a week or two ago? There's some heat over. Would you want to explain what that was? Because we heard someone was raising taxes. What was that?
6 months ago.
Sure. Well, the only reason I say that is I've seen a sign somebody was passing around on your behalf.
Good morning.
Morning, Ed.
I don't remember exactly when it was, but we did vote to lower the taxes back about 6 months ago, the millage from at the county level. I voted against it, and I didn't think it was the time or the place. We're going through some long-range planning. I think within the long-range planning, we have some serious needs for our capital improvements, for our assets. Our jail was completed in 1957. And when I speak of the jail, I talk about law enforcement entirely. It's not just the cells. It has everything to do with the sheriff's office, the detective's office, where we store the evidence, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of deficiencies there that need to be dealt with. Given our current millage, I felt like we could do what needed to be done, which is significant, without, you know, having to vote on an additional millage. We could do it with the savings that we've got. We have had an excess of revenue over expenses for the last, well, ever since I've been a commissioner. And I've addressed it many times, that if we aren't going to take care of our assets, we need to lower the taxes. But I'd rather see us take care of our assets. So I voted against lowering of the taxes, and I understand there's going to be signs out there that says that, and I'm not ashamed of my vote. I'm proud of my vote. I did the right thing. Certainly, it's easy, and unfortunately, politicians, and I'm not accusing you guys, I should say elected officials, because politicians is like calling somebody, well, it's a bad word in my mind to be a politician. To be an elected official is not necessarily bad. It's really easy to make a vote sitting here at the table that's popular. You know, everybody in the room thinks a certain way, which doesn't necessarily represent the vast majority, but a lot of times it's a lot easier to just vote, yeah, we'll lower the taxes. I want to be the hero that lowered your taxes. I voted the difficult vote to not lower your taxes because I want to protect the assets so that 10 years from now and 20 years from now, our kids aren't dealt a serious blow with the deficiencies or lawsuits or whatever else might transpire. I know I've spoken before about the need for the new jail. The jail is not about the prisoners. That's all I want to say. It's not about the people in the jail. We don't need more space. We have enough beds, but it's constructed to 1957 standards. We need to do some things with mental health issues. We need to do some things with the alcohol and drug abuse. There's a lot of things that we need to do that we can't really do with the facilities that we have. I think we need to get into the new century. And in the long range, I think we will benefit a lot. I kind of related it to changing the oil on your car. I'm going to save some money, and I'm not going to change the oil on my car. You know, I'm never going to change the oil on my car, and I'm going to save a ton of money. Well, we all know that eventually that's going to come and get you, and that's what I feel we're looking at the county with some of the people that are short-sighted. They want to be popular and be able to say that they cut taxes. But there are some of them, I think, are afraid to make the tough decisions and do the things that is right for our county, and it's going to be right for all of us. I like to think I'm the grown-up in the room, and I want to continue to be that way. So you have any questions?
Well, is there anything new on the jail? Has there been any changes? Or?
We are going through the long-range master plan, and believe it or not, it's being received a lot better than I thought. All the people that spoke against it in public are saying they know something needs to be done. The depth that it needs to be done is going to be the issue. I was actually a Mason contractor, brick, block, and stone, and we built a lot of jails. And the issue you have with jails, you know, to take and move that wall, that one right there is easy. To take and move a wall in a jail that's got re-rod and conduit and everything built in it, and it's embedded so that, you know, the criminals can't sneak in and out, that's not an easy task. You can't just go in and do a remodel. Is my opinion, and I know that's an opinion, and I'm ready to investigate it further. But we are talking about it. The law enforcement, the deputies, our consultant told us was the worst they had ever seen as far as the spacing of it. There's no privacy with the detectives when they're working on a case, because there's many detectives in the same office. That there's a lot of things that need to be done, and I'm hoping that at the very least we're going to be able to build that out, make a change there. In doing so, I would like to see us do it in a way that we can then do the jail next. Is there anything definite moving forward? No. But there are conversations now that are happening that I think are positive.
You think you're focusing on that same location, or are you still looking at other options?
I think it'll be net by the courthouse. We evaluated, and it's hard to hit that moving target, and you guys are dealing with it just like we are. Currently, it would cost us, we had some numbers, and please don't hold me to us, but it was over six figures to transport prisoners from the jail to the courthouse, if we aren't next to the courthouse. You know, if you're next to the courthouse, you're going to save a lot more money. Well, they're doing more and more of the video conferencing for the arraignments. Our current judges don't like to do it that way. They won't do it for a felony. But, you know, if you build things the way things are getting built, or the way things are being done today, in 5 years from now, it could change, or 10 years from now, it could change, and you might wish you had done it different, so you try to speculate. But I don't see any disadvantage of building it next to the courthouse. We bought the bank building back 6 or 7 years ago so that we have the room and we have the space, and we can do it and do it in a manner to keep that area, well, actually to beautify that area and still keep it in town. It's not a prison that we're building, it's a jail, and they can make a jail look decent without the concertina wire and all that stuff. It can be a nice looking downtown facility, and there's never been any concern of, well, I've never heard any concern of safety of the people that live downtown near the jail. That's never been an issue, so I think we'll keep it where it's at. Everything's on the table, though.
The board, do you have any questions for Ed?
Just your comments. The public doesn't know, the Board of Commissioners is 9 members, is going to 5 members. Ed's district is going to be expanded to Elk Rapids Township and Milton Township. And it was a cost savings, is what they said. It's been 9 members forever. Now they're going to 5.
Well,
any comments on that?
Yeah, I promoted the 5. I was very much in favor of it. We were, our county with the number of commissioners for population was one of the most diluted counties in the state. You know, I have 2,500 people in my district currently, and to me that felt overkill. And I kind of look at it as a Division III school versus a Division II versus a Division I. And if we make our schools a little bigger, and I'm not speaking towards the schools, I'm drawing an anomaly. If we make our population base bigger, we might get a little better quality. Maybe you can find somebody a lot better than me to run for county commissioner and take that spot, because we're going to have a bigger pool to draw from, and I'm all in favor of getting some quality people in there. We used to have committees. We used to have 8 committees. So we used to just one meeting right after the other. It was continuous. Now that we are basically a committee of the whole, or we have 2 full boards, it's not quite as demanding, and 5 commissioners can easily handle the workload, and I think can handle it more effectively. I'm in favor of it, and I promoted it, so I hope it's going to work out that way.
Okay. Anything else? Sure.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name. You're one of the commissioners, obviously.
Yeah, I'm Ed Betcher. I'm the commissioner from Elk Rapids Township. It's Betcher like Betcher Life. Bet your future. But it's not spelled that way. That's the way it's pronounced. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Move on. I've got a report from the sheriff. We had 17 911 checks, calls, 5 deer accidents, 5 general assist, 4 hazardous condition, 7 medical calls, 3 personal injury, and 2 suspicious situation, 14 traffic stops, total of 66 for the month of October. Any questions? We'll move on. Ambulance. And Mike?
Yeah. For the month of October, our ambulance responded to 40 calls, and there were total of 32 transports. That includes Milton. Elk Rapids Village and the township only had 22 calls and 18 transports.
Has there been any change in the Whitewater Acme?
No.
Situation? Any other questions for Mike? We'll move on to Fire Department, Chief Williamson.
Good morning. As you can see from my report there, October was pretty quiet. Only had three incidents. A couple of those involved EMS, and we had one PI, one car accident. So fairly quiet month. We're still at 19 staff-wise. I reported last month that the tanker was going to need some repairs. We found out that it is under warranty, the tank. So that's going to help. We're just going to get charged some labor for the guy to come repair it. He's 4 to 6 weeks out, though. So we're hoping it doesn't go more than about $2,500. So we had to take it over to Zaremba to get some work done prior to the repair. So they had to remove some diamond plate and remove some valves and stuff. So, but that should be pretty good news. We don't have to replace the tank. We had a great turnout at the memorial in our open house. We had great media coverage. You probably all saw that in the town meeting. We had a front page ad. It was pretty nice. So, and we had some good stuff on the news as well, some video. So that was good PR for us. Our firefighter 1 and 2 class, our hybrid class, actually starts tomorrow. We limited the number this year just because it's our first time through with the new virtual format. So we're going to see how that goes. We're ready to go for that. We also participated over at Lakeland in the Trunk or Treat program, which was very well attended. We got some good coverage on that as well. And so our guys were pretty spread out this month doing public ed stuff. Halloween was well attended. We were lucky we were there. MMR got a call right at the beginning of the night, and we held down the fort until they got back. So the truck committee, we were over at Zaremba yesterday, actually, to pick up the tanker, and we're talking to them, and they aren't even taking orders for trucks for 2022. So it's going to be at least 2023.
Is that the pickup truck you're replacing?
No, the rescue truck. The one with the big box on the back of it. It's the oldest one.
Okay.
It's 95, I believe. And the cabin chassis is going to be 2023.
You're going to repurpose the box?
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay.
So, and we're working on that. So we got a little bit more time to save for that rainy day. And that's really all I've got.
Okay. Any questions for Ken? All right, thank you.
Yep.
Move on to district library. We did pass along the tenants in common. Matt Zerman sent it to the village 4 or 5 days after our meeting. I've not heard anything back. I was going to say, Bill, if you wanted to just briefly peruse through it, really what in generalities, what it is what we were trying to achieve is keeping it the same under the same authority going forward, giving the next township board an opportunity to look at and renew within a 4-year time period, which Matt felt was reasonable, and also it doesn't lock another board's hands, but in a sense that this township board will allow the village to go on about their business and manage the library and the other parts of the asset at this time, and we would just be more or less a silent partner. There would be, or there is some language in there for liability purposes that would address any changes of use that would have to be reviewed as far as, does it follow along with, this where I'll get over my head, the deed restriction? Is that a proper way of putting it, Bill?
That's part of it, yes.
Well, go ahead and explain why that's kind of important.
Attorney Zimmerman recommended this. This is common, I guess, when you hold property in tenants in common. It could be 50-50 ownership, or you divide it any way you want. He proposed this agreement. The village is reviewing it, and I assume there'll be changes coming back. But It indicates on the first page, or, and this is public record, you can view it and obtain a copy, that where the property came from in 1948 and where it's recorded on the, and then that the village had an election in 1960, and that's when the township, the village deeded the township a half interest in the library property. And the donor, which is Catherine Dexter McCormick, agreed with that in an affidavit in 1961, which was recorded, saying that was okay for the village to deed the half interest to the township. Now, they wanted to enter into this agreement, which is a TIC, is the abbreviations, but it's a tenancy in common agreement, to try to say what the parties would do with their ownership interest on this. So they acknowledge that township owns 50%, village owns 50%. They say the term of the agreement is 4 years, Doris is right. Every board will have an opportunity to look at the agreement, change it if they want to. That's the election period. But also, it's been around the community, just deeded. Well, according to Matt and others, you can't just deed a piece of public property. The law has changed. As long as there's a public use of that property. So there is a public use of that property right now. Matt's position is you can't just deed it. Now we've asked the village in when we presented this to them, if you can find something different, tell us, educate us. But this is what the law we think is. If they change the law, fine. But if there's some other public entity that wants to take it over, we can't find any law per se that we can deed the property from one public entity to another public entity. It says we can't dispose of it. So we're sort of locked in right now. So therefore, we have maintenance. We say villagers responsible for it. Use, leasing, revenue, basically there's a paragraph, a large paragraph on that. It says the village will be able to lease the premises and keep the proceeds from it, or any part thereof, and keep the proceeds from the rental. But they shall not make any use of the property, which is contrary not only to the deed restrictions, but to applicable law, in which constitutes or constitutes a nuisance or commit or suffer any waste on the property. On this. Insurance, in the agreement, the village is required to carry a $2 million policy with a $5 million umbrella, with the township being an additional named insured in the insurance. The property is exempt from taxes, but if it ever becomes taxable, the village pays for it. Notices, everything should be in writing between the co-tenants, meaning between the village and the township. Binding effect, it inures and is binding on both the parties, village and the township. This is the entire agreement. There's no other side agreements on it. Everything is to be put in this written agreement. Governing law is the law of the state of Michigan. Title or subtitles on the property, this is just for reference only, and it can be signed and countersigned, meaning I can sign a copy and then the village can sign a copy and put them together and it becomes an agreement. That's a summary of it. You can look at it. Like I said, it's in the village's hands and the village attorney on this thing, so we're waiting for comment back. Trying to be open with the public as to what's going on, and we're always open to ideas to bounce off the township board, and we can bounce it off Mr. Zimmerman. So.
I did have a phone call from Jim Janice, the village president. He had found some language about the vote that was taken on the return of the property, and he was going to drop that off with Shelley. We haven't received it yet, but I think we probably have seen the very same thing as far as
I think that it's in our records or in our storage or in our file that the actual ballot language we have, yes, if that's what he's talking about.
I wasn't sure, so I said, just, you know, bring it along. If it's something different, we'll take a look. But I'm assuming we'll hear from their attorney at some point.
And what Dorrance is talking about, and I apologize because I didn't go back and look at that, but I think it's over 40 years ago, there was an election, a second election. We don't know whether the whole township voted on it, meaning the village, or just the township. People lived outside the village voted on it. We can't, don't tell that. But there was a vote that said, should we, the township give it back to the village, the 50% interest. And it passed, but not, it was, wasn't many voters at all, considering the number of registered voters. But nothing was done. We've looked through newspaper articles, we've looked through minutes, and just nothing was done. It was just that vote. We have our beliefs, maybe that same period of time, there was millage passed to support the district library, the library at that time. So there was a millage that helped support. So maybe they said, no, we're not going to do it right now because that millage was there. We don't know. Was there some other agreement? We've asked the town, the village, to look through their records. And up till now, until this last one, they found nothing in their records about why that deed wasn't done. The law changed in the meantime, as I've already told you. We can't just deed property away. Or the village can't deed it away either, as long as it's a public use. And there is a public use on the property. So we're looking for ideas. We're looking for law to allow us to do something. Our remedy, our alternatives, are, we don't have a lot of them. So we're sitting and waiting. And this was, we thought, was a common way to let it continue as it has been, but with a written agreement so everybody can see what the agreement is.
I know the village is also reviewing the survey that was done because it also includes a couple other buildings, but I haven't heard anything on that, so I'm sure they're going to look at that. Now, we have not went out and done a survey slash posted corners or anything at this point. We're going to wait on the village to see if they agree with this survey before we do that or what, so we don't, you know, get into a situation where we're discussing where the actual corner points are. But I'm pretty confident Mr. Ferrier has it pretty well sorted out. So those are the two issues, will be the property line descriptions and then as far as what doing while we move forward with it. So the tenants in common was what was recommended to this board as a way out. So that's kind of where we're standing now. And as a board, I think we've agreed that it's kind of our next move. So we'll wait on the village to see if they come up with something different. And then we'll evaluate that at that time. See, any questions?
There's maps available. You can look at them here in color. Dean, we had a public meeting on this and explained it and give copies out even at that meeting. It wasn't a survey. I don't think anybody's objecting or contesting the description. Is where, and that's what this board did, where is that description? There's several lines, but Dean's pretty stout and even based it on prior surveys the village had done as to where the west line is. And it includes not only, the description does, not only the quotation island property, it includes a strip of land from the island property to Pine Street, where the bridge, little white walking bridge is. So that, and nobody seems to dispute that at all. It's just where the river itself, the width, and the location has changed, as Dean explained. At one time, it went, the river mouth was a lot farther, let's call it south or west. There was dunes in there. That's been gone. The dunes are gone now. It's our bathing beach, or the bathing beach now, and tennis courts. There was huge structures in that area also. So, I mean, we're waiting to see. Dean based it on past history, what the description said, and what the prior surveys have said on this thing. If, I'm not saying they are, but we would assume that the village is asking their engineering survey firm to look at it. We don't know that for a fact, but probably will be, to see if they can fight something wrong with it. One of the, help me, the quarter section, there is a quarter section or a section point that they have not marked on the ground and so forth because it is in the basement of the State Theater. So, it was built over it. They know where it was. It's tied outside of that. But they were amazed when the village was laid out. They laid it out. They didn't care where the section corners were. It was like, so they, it's been buried for years and years and years. Other ones, other corners and points were, I'm going to say, between the island and the chute dam and north. There was points in there too, but that's been remodeled so much and redesigned, filled. They know where it is by measurements, but there's no points there. So.
No, it's it was a kind of about a 100-year look back to actually start the whole process. So I guess that's where we are. Matt, you got any questions?
No, I've been through this tenancy agreement pretty thoroughly, and so I keep coming back to Mrs. McCormick's 1959, when she donated this property, and it states it right in the tenancy agreement. It's a restricted limiting of the property to the use of public as a park, library, place of assembly, village hall, or for community center purposes generally is the deed restriction. So. Well, maybe that's a reason that maybe that vote and nothing happened afterwards. Maybe it's related to why that property was donated to begin with. I think there's it's still a big mystery, but it'd be nice to see that continue to be public property.
Mike?
Nothing.
Shelley?
Nothing.
Okay.
One more point. In the agreement, which Doris says, it is in the agreement. If the village changes the use, library moves out and goes a brand new one somewhere else. This is an agreement for a library, basically. Present use. If they change that use, they got to come back to the township and amend or get a new TIC agreement for whatever the new public use is going to be. Township just wants a say, representing their 50% and their constituents as to what the property is going to be used for. In the public purpose sector.
Good point. Okay, we'll move on, unless there's anything else. Township sewer, wastewater treatment plant, REU purchase. Matt's been working on that, and I think Shelley's been kind of leading that charge as far as digging up the old documents and putting some stuff together for review. So, Shelley, have you got anything to add?
I was just looking at draft service agreements and bills that we get from the wastewater treatment plant. We've been working with them for years, and we've been paying towards the debt. Elk Rapids Township has been paying towards the debt based on a percentage of REUs. So I sent all of that stuff to Matt so he could take a look at that and see where we go from there. I mean, I think just our percentage would be upped with additional people. But I don't know what the village is looking at regarding that. They haven't gotten back to us on any of that stuff either. So they're still looking at it all.
The latest I know is I think Matt's in the process of drafting just like this TIC agreement, our proposed REU agreement, so the village could look at it.
Yes. Well, he was hopeful to have something together, and then Shelley found these other documents.
I'm against that.
And trying to figure out exactly where we stand.
Yep. I'm against that. And
against what?
Against buying REUs from the wastewater treatment plant. Because we've been a part of the wastewater treatment plant for 40 years, paying towards debt as it came with each improvement that has come. So that's what I'm trying to show, and that's just my opinion. I know that I'm giving that to Matt, and that may not fly anywhere, but I am just against that. I don't want, as a matter of fact, I'd rather not have Matt draft something up for them saying we're going to pay this much per REU because...
He's not saying that. He's just saying, yeah, well, he is saying that, but the dollar figure is yet to be even, we don't know.
Right. I'm against that.
Well, Shelley's position, you're, because we have been contributing all through, and it's part of the billing process, is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
And so, and that's of this latest funding mechanism they used when they did the facility. So I don't want to speak for you, but you're in a position of where we're already in.
We've been a part of each improvement at the wastewater treatment plant. We've been a part of the debt increases just based on percentages of flow and customers. So when we do our new agreement, I would like them to look at that and just continue on with that with new customers. Increase the percentage if the flow is going to increase by that much and carry on as we have been. But that's just me.
Well, it is a regional plant. So I believe, to Shelley's point, that includes everyone. And if it's been being picked up on the billing process all along, the contribution's already there. As if it would be, well, we got an increase when they redid the plant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to redo it to take on more, we'd get another increase for the billing as well because it would be reestablished. So I think there is some merit there. We'll find out.
In the agreement, then you're proposing, or talking about that, Shelley, would simply be an agreement to add customers.
Correct.
And, you
and
see,
to leave it open, because we're measured, flow is measured as it goes into the wastewater treatment plant, and so we pay based on that,
mm-hmm.
Our portion of the plant, and a percentage towards the amount of customers we have compared to the amount of customers that the village has. So I would like to leave that open because as the township, we're trying to get not just Karen Highway, but we don't want to have to redo this every time. I'd rather just leave it open and go with an agreement that says, yeah, we're going to pay our fair share throughout, you know, the next coming years.
Who decides when the plant is at its capacity and they have to add another?
That'd be the village.
Called,
yeah, that'd be the village.
They do.
Because
mm-hmm.
that could greatly increase the cost.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a stage. They add another stage or something to that effect.
I forgot they called it.
So Matt and Shelley are kind of working on that. Any questions, Matt? Mike?
Well, not really.
Okay.
I'm starting to agree with Shelley because I remember when I first moved up here, my base sewer charge was $12. It's now $34.95. So we've been contributing a hell of a lot to that plant.
Yeah, and actually the more usage, the more the contribution is. And to Shelley's point, we're paying by the gallonage anyway, so it's all being appropriate or been allocated on that.
I agree. It's paid by the gallonage, not the property owners.
Exactly.
Because rumor only, okay, on this thing, but nothing to base it on, is the village has a lot of stormwater running into that sewer plant because of leaks in their pipes. So if they cured that, there may not be as much flowage in.
Yeah, it may open up more opportunity.
Right.
True.
Well, all right, now we're getting out of things because we've got a meter going into the plant that says how much waste we're putting in. And the percentage that I'm talking about is based on customers and not probably flow down the line, but I don't know how much of that is based on flow. So we're pretty open book. This is what we're putting in, this is how many customers we have. So, you know, we should be able to take care of that.
I agree. Anything else? Okay, we'll move down to GIS. In talking to performance, you'll like this, Mike. I want to get you started to think about expenses for next year. They would like, the village, I think, brought it up to Shelley in the beginning, and I don't know the proper terms, but to put all of our pipelines on so that they can go in on GIS and for Miss Diggs and everything else to locate them, find them quicker. And there's a map, a schematic to follow. We don't presently have that capability in either Maple Harbor or Birch Lake. And I don't want to quote performance, but it isn't that big of an expense that I think with the 9-1, excuse me, with the Miss Diggs situation, that's a real important deal as far as having something get hit accidentally, that I think we should be thinking about it for budgetary repairs and maintenance next year. I don't have an actual number, Mike, but from what Brad was telling Shelley and I, it didn't seem like it was that bad. So he'll give us a real number so you've got something to look at. But I think that'll be one of our things we want to address for next year. We've got most of the valving maintenance done and the cleaning done and the updating on all the on the lift station at the Sportsman's Club. So we also did do the brush and grass removal or whatever down the pipeline. So I'm hoping that's one of the few things we need to do next year, but I think that's a situation where that'll have payback over time. And also the village does our Miss Dig, so it'll fit into their program so that they don't have to, maybe they can monitor it, I guess, from right in their office closer. So I think it's kind of a must need. So I just want to put it out there for the board to be prepared for.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Best way to find that stuff usually is when the backhoe goes in, they find it every single time. So
that's the worst time.
Yeah, it doesn't work out too well. Maybe going forward with any new stuff that we put in, it should just be part of the package that gets implemented right from the start.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah, it's great.
Part of engineering now.
I don't have any updates on the generator, backup generator for Maple Harbor. It's still on its way. God knows when, but sometime, I guess, hopefully yet this year. But we're set with a propane and ready to go. So when it shows up, we can be active.
But the one for Birch Lake is up and running.
Yeah, on the Sportsman's Club, yeah. That one's operable. Yes. Karen Highway Sewer Public Hearing, December 14th, 2021 at 6 p.m. Shelley, you have some new information you wanted to share on the on the equipment side of things, of throwing it in. I can't grab the right wording. You're planning not to put it in the proposed assessment.
The pump
package.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. With the Karen Highway Sewer, it's going to be we're planning on having all pressure sewers, so all of the places would have a pump and a panel, and we were trying to work that into the cost of the special assessment, and it just kicked the special assessment up, and it would break down that cost over 20 years, which may help in front, but people would be paying on that for a long time. So while we're doing our numbers and trying to get everything straightened around, we pulled that pump package out of the special assessment cost so that the special assessment cost would only cover the cost of the sewer being put in. And then homeowners would have, when they go to hook up, they would buy the pump package. They'd have their excavator buy the pump package and install that as part of the connection without the township being involved in that. So, we kind of needed to do that just so that the special assessment would be cleaner instead of trying to set that up for some people that wanted it and some people that didn't. And it was getting complicated, and it would have thrown off our figures. We would have had to try to do two different types of special assessments. So we pulled that out of our plan for right now. And that'll be brought up at the upcoming public hearing also. The cost is still in there, but it's just not something that we're going to try to spread over 20 years.
So basically what would be left is the two options, the 20-year payment of the pipeline itself or a cash payment that Mike would deal with or whomever upon the completion. So there'd be an option you could cash pay for everything or you could finance it over the 20-year plan. So it would take away, what you were explaining was the third option would have been some people with equipment in, some people without.
Right.
It was going to be hard to put a set or have an even number on everything, so everybody was in the same. Anything further on that? Okay, we'll move on to government center building repairs. Dick is not here today, Haltz. I was given information on the generator. Grand Traverse Diesel has been working on putting a backup generator system planned together for the government center for both the village and the township. And just in short term from what Dick gave me, we need about a 75,000 kW generator. There's a 50,000 kW requirement, but given that we're a governmental center, we have to build in extra capacity. It would probably be located just outside these windows down the wall a ways where the power panel is at this point. The cost, and again, this is a moving target, would look like somewhere between $75,000 and $80,000 total for the electrical part of it, the generator, and the installation. With that being said, we really can't tie that down with what's happening in the world today exactly. He will work up a more in-depth. He can put together the electrical installation cost, the switching, and everything that has to go on for the center. But the equipment itself is probably 6 to 8 months out at best. And then there certainly could be a chance for a price change, and I'm sure it wouldn't be less, it would probably be more. But that is the best guess he had at this point, giving us some rough numbers. And to break it down, why you see 40,000 there is we used 80,000 as our number. Half of the responsibility would fall on the township, and half of it on the village. We're hoping it'll come in under that, but at this point, I just wanted to ask the board if this would be next year's budget, which would shoot our building repairs for next year. But I wanted to get a idea from the board if this is something that they want to do and if we would support it so we can move along on it. I feel it's important to have this building have power in case of an emergency. I also feel due to Shelley having elections here, without power would be very challenging. I know we put a backup power plant at your building, Ken, and you've had the opportunity to use it quite a bit, I'm sure. So I just think that most all government centers do have this. This generator will be of a hospital grade for noise. It'll run on natural gas. So, and I think Dick spoke with Brian from the village about where it'd be located and that we could maybe put some bushes around it to kind of cover it up, but it shouldn't be an eyesore. But I really feel this building probably, with everything that goes on here, probably needs it. So I'm for it, but Matt, what's your thoughts?
Well, I've been through this with Dick, and I think we need to have it for sure, 100%. And like you said, it's not getting any cheaper. I think that getting our 40,000 or half estimated right now, earmarked and approved and ready to go so we can get this thing moving. You know, the lead time's like next August already, even if we approved it today. So big election probably coming up next November, so you'd want to make sure to have it in place before that. Plus, there's other factors of this building, some type of a safeguard also for public use, that type of thing. It should have it. So there's a lot of reasons to have this. It's the right thing, I feel, to do. We need a motion or something to get this process going, or at least earmark the funds so that we can put the township on or the village on notice as well, so they can do the same, because we need that in order to get the bid package put together and actually get a hard number and get the order done. I think time is of the essence to move this along.
Okay, Mike.
Well, we have the cash.
Tell you,
that's my main interest right now.
It's probably the biggest. That question probably needed to be asked first, Mike. Thanks.
Well, that's why I was trying to be first on his budget line for this building.
I think I agree with Matt, it's essential. I mean, every time you on the news in the wintertime, you hear about all these local governments that open up warming centers for senior citizens. I mean, this building could be that if need to be in an emergency in Elk Rapids.
Agreed. Shelley?
I agree, too, that we need it. Personally, I think we're very smart. We've been in this building for quite a while, and we're really paying attention now to the needs and to keep the upkeep and what we're going to need, and the generator is just a good part of that. We've been setting money aside in replacement reserve in our budgets for the past couple of years for situations like this, so we're, we've been kind of planning it. This is one of the things that we need to spend it on.
Agreed. I would entertain a motion to move forward on this, if anyone wants to do that.
I'll do that. I'll make a motion to approve $40,000 initially as the township's portion, half, and I guess we need to notify the village as well, request for their same so that we can get their approval and then move forward to the next step of getting a bid package put together and lock this thing down, get it moving.
Okay. I'll support that. Do we have any further discussion? Any other questions? Well, I will say one thing. I know who the electrical contractor will be coming in with this group at Shoreline, just to be of record. And that was a member of our past board. I think it's a principal there, Aaron Eisenhart, just for full. But I'm sure they're more than capable. They do a lot of this. So that was who they were working with. So with Grand Traverse Diesel and Shoreline. So, and now that could change given, whatever happens, but that's what I was told at the time. So I guess we'll do a roll call on this.
I had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So we're approving this, but we're approving the allocation for next year's budget.
Yes.
Is that correct? But if we know that it's going to take that long to get it, do we have to pay any money up front this year before, our budget is over as of March 31st.
To my knowledge, no, but I will follow up on it. I'm not sure. I'm sure by the time we get it put together, I'm sure you'll want something for a deposit, but I'm not sure what that is.
Once we get done with the bid process and get the specs put together and get the the second
part of
the approval.
So that'll probably take all that time anyway.
But we'll be at the end of the year doing that anyway.
Right.
You know.
My big thing is I just wanted to make sure we got it in for next year's budget.
So one more question.
Yep.
So the motion and the second is to approve the allocation of $40,000 for a generator for the governmental center.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we going to let the village know so they can do it at their next board meeting?
Yeah, we'll pass along to Brian.
Is our half, is the township's, the $40,000 is the township's
portion
of that, 50% portion.
Thank you. All set.
I'll let you do a roll call when you're ready.
All right. Roll call, Szymanski.
Yes.
Amos.
Yes.
Boisbert, yes. Soper.
Yes.
And Dick Holtz is absent. Motion passes.
Got one more comment in regard to the building. Dorrance, spoken to Dick and the contractor both. Dick's absence here. They're going to start replacing ceiling tile and getting some of the maintenance things taken care of the week of December 1st. It's actually on their calendar for scheduled for December 1st was the date that we were given recently. So you'll see some contractors in here fixing doors and hardware, trying to get the exterior issues buttoned up as well, and then throughout the interior of the building as well.
Yeah, that was replacing parts of the doors, and we're putting tile in from the water damage.
Yep, just.
And do you think they'll be able to do the outside work that late in the year, or will they have to come back in the spring?
Weather dependent, they're going to try and do it in December if that's possible. Okay. There's some power washing and things that need to be done to get some of the effervescence off the masonry. So depending on weather, if they can get that done.
Just like this, they probably can.
Yes, there won't be an issue then. So. As long as the power wash doesn't freeze up, I think they'll get moving on it. Ed knows that very well. No, they can scrub it with the, just wash it. Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Okay, we'll move on. Bass Lake. Mike, you've been spending time with your friends in Bass Lake. How's that going?
Good. They finally realized that they have to redo the association. And they are meeting. They've had two or three meetings, and they're going to have another one November 30th. They're finally getting some committee set up and trying to find some officers so they can reestablish that nonprofit again. Okay. And the reason for it being the nonprofit is that that's what they would need to do if they ever have to apply for grants, which there are grant money available from Tippett and Mitt Foundation and the Grand Traverse Bay Watershed. They are going to, there's a doctor from the Michigan State University Aquatic Division for checking out, you know, what plants are natural of Bass Lake and which are not. So they're going to work, she's going to go out there and assess the problem. The Tip of the Mitt does a survey, and they found out that the lake is getting rich in nutrients. Which you got to understand, that lake is very shallow. Maybe that could be part of it. I don't know, but that's what they're going to find out.
Well, it looks like you've had well-attended meetings.
Yes, yes.
That's good. Is there any idea what kind of millage they want to run?
No, not at this time. They still have about 8,000 left in the fund to go. So we could probably survive that maybe for a couple more years.
What are you guessing would be a good number to run? What did they do last time, a mill?
Well, no. The last time they did it back in 98, it was a total of 70,000, but they had to upload the first 2 years because the lake needed treatment right away. And then after that, they dropped the millage down to about 0.5, I believe.
Okay.
So, like I said, once we find out what the lake actually needs when they get the reports and the surveys, and then they can set the assessment.
Okay. Anything further on Bass Lake? Have we decided that, was Bass Lake all on sewer yet or not? Does anybody really
most
know?
Most of Bass Lake is on sewer.
Okay.
And of course, the ironic thing about Bass Lake, half of it's in Elk Rapids Township and half is in the village.
It looks like there's just a portion of Partridge Trail that does not have sewer, but I'm not sure what's on that portion, if it's woods or...
Now, you got to understand, back when this was done 20-some years ago, there was like 61 parcels or 61, and now there's up to like 81, 82, so the lake has grown in size. And a lot of people, when they came to this meeting, never knew about this assessment. Because
really?
It ended 20-some years ago.
Oh, true. Okay, anything further? We'll move on to the attorney's report.
Well, you already know about the commissioners going from 9 to 5. Now, just so you know, I've given Shelley and Doris copies of the Township Insights for October and November. Michigan House has passed short-term rentals bill, which says that there is no short-term rentals in a residential zone is not commercial. So it preempts the township, any townships that have zoning ordinances or ordinances that regulate the short-term rentals. It goes farther in saying that not only does it say it's not a commercial, it says that the minimum amount within a district, within a residential district, that township has any say on, there may be up to 30%, almost a third of the residences could be short-term rental on this thing. So, it would be permitted in all residential zones. The townships or villages could regulate certain aspects of it, sound, noise, parking, but it must be within all residential units, not just the short-term rental units. So we'll see what comes out. It's going to the Senate. It's believed the Senate may act this week on the bill also. But the governor, I haven't heard anything on what the governor, whether she'll veto it or ratify it, obviously. So that's that. That's the news on short-term rentals. Our township does not have a short-term rental ordinance. Others around do. The county board is into five now. I meant to follow up with Ed. It seems like the population base of those new five districts runs from 4,900 plus to 4,400 plus on this thing. So there's just some difference, but there's Elk Rapids and Torch Lake are together.
Milton.
Excuse me, Elk Rapids and Milton are together. Torch Lake and Banks are together on this. And then there's more Forest Home and Kearney and Helena. And to the west, farther east you go, the more townships that are involved together because the population is less over there. Sewer extension, you've already heard the next public meeting is going to be, or hearing is going to be December 14th, 6 p.m. That's a Tuesday, I believe. There is district library. We've already talked about the TIC agreement on that also, which we've tried to, everything we've discovered, everything we're proposing as a township, we've given it to the village, and we've also given it to the public, so the public knows exactly what's going on, and copies of it are available. The Bailey case or the other Freedom of Information request case, I have nothing new to report on. I don't know of any changes in that. Those are the major ones. I don't have anything else. Oh, I will. On the sheriff, just so you know, on this thing, when he reports 66, there were 17 911 checks and 7 medical calls. Traffic stops are only 14. So, I mean, those three alone cover 58% of the calls. So, it's been down. So that's all I have.
Any questions for Bill? Okay, we'll move on to Township Board announcements and correspondence. We have been working on the easement property in Clearwater Point, and it's just about done. It won't be done probably for until next week because the weather conditions have been good and bad, but they're also, the same group is working in the cemetery, and you'll see them moving back and forth from the cemetery to the site because of windage problems. They can work at the easement area better when they have high winds, so because of the trees there are not as large as what they're dealing with at the cemetery, but they're hopeful to be done middle of next week to end of next week, depending on weather. And what we're doing in the cemetery is removing the dead trees and shrubbery that's been dead and just debris. And in the easement area, it was brought to our attention it needed to be cleaned up, and I tend to agree. It was pretty thick, so they're going in to park type standards. They're removing the dead and kind of thinning it out, and they're putting in wood chips for the walkway to the water. And if you haven't been by there, it's a pretty nice little property, and it looks a lot better already, so I'll be looking forward to seeing it get finished. I think that's about all I have. Shelley, do you have anything further?
No.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm just let the board know that I am looking at BSNA has a special assessment district package out there that actually links to my tax package and Carlene's the assessing package, which means that right now I am linked with the assessing package. If Carlene makes an address change, it automatically updates mine. Her system is the one that drives all your tax bills because all the assessments that come out in February, the adjustments are made after the board of review. Then that number is transferred over into my tax package. So just to remind you again, in July and December when they go up, why did I raise your taxes? I didn't. I can't do that. So now with the special assessment districts, when you load these parcels onto there, if I ever need to get a payoff number immediately, there's a way to go in there and just go to each parcel, click on a button, and it'll tell you exact payoff for the month. If Carlene makes one of those properties sells during the year and there's an address change, a new owner, that automatically updates mine and will update the special assessment district. The cost is about $3,000 with maybe about $500-$600 a year in maintenance.
Is that something the public can access as well?
Well, here's the thing. Right now, you know that all our stuff is, all our information is on BSNA Online, all your tax information, all your Carlene's assessment with your property and all the measurements. And the utility billing from the village is on there also. So this will probably, I'm talking with BSNA, and I'm pretty sure that there will be a link where it'll say special assessment. So if a realtor has to look at a property, he or she can pull it up and you can tell if there's a special assessment on it, what the taxes are, and everything else. So it's all for the convenience of the homeowner. So a little transparency for, I mean, you don't even have to call me now for taxes. Well, I don't know if they're paid or not. You just go look on our website where it says ask about my taxes, and it takes you right to the package. And there's a link to go to the village. If you're in the village, if you can see if you're paid up with them.
Well, and on that note, also, Carlene was out a week ago, I believe, on Tuesday, and she did her 20% review. It's mandatory every year on our tax roll because we just finished our reappraisal over the last 4 years. So now she'll be going out. So she visited properties and has gotten that caught up for this year. So we've pretty much got that put to bed. Is there anything that you have, Matt?
Looking at the zoning administrator's report, we still continue to have a lot of violations around the water. People coming in and ripping all the trees and the stumps, or in one case, a guy paved within 5 feet of the water type of thing. So I believe for December 14th is the date for our next planning commission meeting. I think we're going to address some of those things there. So we'll get back to you with the report on that, but that just, people need to know what the rules are and to understand it before they go in. And there was one case where there was a contractor that actually had paved a bunch of this, and so shame on them. It's, that's not cool to do that. So we'll see if we can enhance that a little bit more and get after it.
Okay.
Larry, you need to develop a memo or a short letter to put with the tax bills to put on the website and to send so the property owners, all property owners, are aware that before they cut a tree, they ought to check.
Especially near the lake. I mean, everybody knows that lives here, so it's shocking to see some of this stuff occurring like this, and I've seen some of it, and they've literally just cleared everything. Mm-hmm. So that's a big no-no, and I'm surprised more of the neighbors haven't complained, especially in the Birch Lake area. They're very into that stuff. So I did go through the cemetery. Looks great. It's fantastic compared to what it was. The guys are doing a good job, and walked down in through the Clearwater piece last weekend, and
yeah, that's pretty close to your house now, I think about it.
Yeah, they're doing a bang-up job in there, so it's great to see that get cleaned up.
Okay. Shelley, you said something about some headstones.
Yep, we had a report that some of the headstones were knocked over at the cemetery. That happens once in a while. These were pretty close to a bend, so some kind of vehicle must have knocked them over. But and I went out and looked, and sure enough, I couldn't lift it up to put it back on. Couldn't even shake it. So that we'll call someone and have them get back out there and reset some headstones. That's terrible when that happens, you know, for family members and stuff. And unless you let me know, I mean, I do drive around, but I'm not looking specifically. But that one was pretty obvious. So, yeah, we've got to get that taken care of.
Sure. Anything else? Not hearing anything. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you. 10:11.
Thank you.